You may be seated.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I saw a sign at Hobby Lobby yesterday. It says, if life throws you a curve, hit it out of the park. I like that. Amen. Look at your handout. This is your homework. I'll take a few minutes here with this. 2016 is my year of forward advance. You say, well, who said that? Well, I said that. You have to understand that you are the prophet of your own life. 2016 is like a garden, an empty garden, and you, sweetie pie, you are the gardener. Every gardener knows this much, that if you plant nothing, you don't get nothing. You get worse than nothing. You get weeds. Why? Because the earth is under a curse, that's why. Because of Adam's sin. If you want a good garden full of good things, you have to be proactive. You have to think about what you're going to plant. You have to get to work. So again, I say that 2016 is like an empty garden and you are the gardener. Well, I'll just let the Lord decide what he wants to plant in my life. No, the devil will plant weeds in your life. So if you want something good to happen in 2016, you have to be proactive with your faith. And since there's no such thing as silent faith, what you say determines what you sow into 2016. So if you say nothing good, you're not sowing anything good. You following me here? What you say establishes what good will happen in this new year. If you say nothing, the curse will get you. Oh, dear. So ask yourself, this is what I want you to ask yourself, what do I want in the garden of my life in 2016? Now, I understand this. Whatever good thing you want to happen, it will require the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to produce it. So this is not a humanistic exercise, because we already established that Jesus is my supernatural source and I'm connected to him. Amen. So we're going to get to that in a moment. But what I want you to do is go over every area of your life and write down what you want in each area. I've listed 7 areas for you. And I want you to get specific. I gave you some general things. For example, 2016 is my year of holiness of heart and life. There will be no sin, no guile, and no moral compromise, nothing displeasing to God. Say amen. Amen. All right, 2016 is my year of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my friend, my helper, and my God. 2016 is my year of being useful in the kingdom of God. I present my body a living sacrifice, separated from sin, dedicated to God. Say amen. Amen. 2016 is my year of physical strength and wholeness. I refuse to be sick and decrepit in the name of Jesus. I live strong. Amen. And I don't have to get weak to die. I don't know who wrote the lyrics to that one song we sang, but the Bible says about Moses that he was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural vigor abated. So you don't have to get weaker the longer you live. Now, if you don't say anything, if you're not proactive with your faith, then you will become weaker and weaker, and trouble will overwhelm you and blah, blah, blah. But I want you to know, I don't have trouble. I have a Savior. I don't want to major on the trouble part of it. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to major on the fact that I have a Savior. I have a conqueror. I have a hero who whipped the devil and death. Hallelujah. I have Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about Jesus because that makes me happy. Amen. I don't want to talk about all my problems and what's going wrong and what could go wrong. I want to talk about Jesus and what he's going to do. Amen. And the Bible says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So 2016 is my year of financial increase. I'm debt free. I'm a big giver. I'm rich. Say amen. 2016 is my year of new beginnings. I forget the past and move forward to take new ground for Jesus. Say amen. Amen. 2016 is my year of power and prayer. I will intercede, vote, and change the destiny of my nation for God. Amen. Now, I hope you all agree with that. If you don't, you need to see me. If you don't have this handout, talk to one of the ushers. So 2016 is my year of forward advance. That means it's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of change. I'm not going back. I'm not going backwards. I don't want the same old thing. It's not going to be a repetition of what was. It's a new beginning. It's a year of freshness, prayer, and breakthrough for the glory of God. Now, what I want you to do is take this home with you and then take some time and write down at least two specific goals in each of those seven areas. For example, spiritual goal could be, I want to read a chapter of the Bible a day. That'd be a good place to start. Some of you may want to say, I want to read the whole Bible through. Some of you may want to say, I want to read 15 chapters. There's a 15-chapter club. Praise God. You may want to say, I want to spend 2.5 hours reading the Bible. You know, a tithe of my time reading the Bible. But make it specific. The idea here is, if it's general, it's no good. So I want to tithe, and then I want you to put down a percent over your tithe that you're going to give. It might be 1%. It might be 5%. I knew one man, he gave 10% over his tithe. The church was very happy. Hallelujah. But if you just say, well, I just give something, well, then you're going to end up giving nothing. And you'll just be pathetic. But we don't want you to be pathetic. Write down, have physical goals. So don't just say, well, I want to be in shape. What does that mean? Be specific. Say, I want to exercise 3 or 4 days a week. I want to get on a strength and conditioning program. Financial goals. I want to take FPU. I want to do certain specific things in the financial area. I have relational goals. Now, if you're an empty nester like me, you need to, your goals are a little different than if your kids are 3 years old and living with you. You understand? But you have to make your goals specific to where you are in life. Mental goals. What would that be? Well, read a good Christian book once a month. How about that? If you're a student, I don't know if anybody in here is a student, but you ought to have a goal of, say, I want to graduate. And then how about put a number by your GPA? Or a number by the ACT test or the SAT test. And some of you don't know what that is. That's because you're not students. That's okay. But as a student, you shouldn't just say, well, I just want to make it through. Have a specific goal. A national goal. What do you mean a national goal? We're American citizens. We live in the world. We're not of the world. But I plan to vote this November. And I'm voting for the right person. Amen. But you can do more than vote. You could actually endorse somebody. You could campaign. You could join Georgia Right to Life. There are specific things you can do. And so if you write nothing down, then nothing good will happen. But we want something good to happen.
Amen.
All right, that's done. Let's move on. All right. I was so excited when I came to church and saw the bulletin cover. It's a quotation from the words of the Lord Jesus. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And I got excited because my sermon is entitled Your Personal Pentecost. Your Personal Pentecost. Now, I was raised in the Lutheran church, and I knew that the day of Pentecost was in Acts chapter 2. That was the first Pentecost in the church era. And so I knew about the day of Pentecost because in the Lutheran church, they change the color. The pastor changes the color of what he wears for the given Sunday. So I won't bore you with the details of the church year. But on the Pentecost Sunday, they wore red because that had to do with the Holy Spirit and fire. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to Ephesians 5. We'll start here. And then I'm going to trace it to you with how it came to me in my life. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In other words, have nothing to do with alcohol, because in that is excess. And hallelujah for Greek scholars and Greek words, that word simply means unsavedness. In other words, if you go down the path of alcohol and drugs, you're undoing salvation. Pretty nasty, isn't it? So that the only sure way to stay away from drunkenness is to stay away from the bottle altogether. Amen. Amen. Just telling you the truth, you do what you want, Amen. But I suggest you obey Jesus. Didn't the Spirit of God said, trust and obey?
Amen.
Well, trust Him that He's telling you the right thing. So take your alcohol and pour it down the sink. Amen. Get rid of it. And then say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I've never met a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit who drinks alcohol. It's one or the other. And this command here, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is not an optional thing. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's writing here to believers. You say, I already got heaven made. I was talking to one guy, and he said, he was content to smoke and drink and cuss and do all the kinds of other things. And his attitude was, I've got heaven made. I can live as close to hell as possible. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong way to go about it, because sin has a hardening, deceptive power. And you fool around with sin, you'll go back into sin. 2016 is my year of forward advance. I'm not going back. I'm moving forward with Jesus. Wherever Jesus leads me, I'm going. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I want all of God. I want more of God, not less of God. Yes. And so be filled with Him. You know, you could have a little bit of food. I don't know, well, this is a funny story, but it's taking me back in time. But I once dated a girl, wasn't my wife, but I took her to a restaurant. It was a fish restaurant. I forget what it was. This is like 35 years ago now. And I felt like I got cheated when I left the restaurant because I wasn't filled. See, I had, you know, those chefs, you know, these little portions, the tiny portions, and you know, a guy eats it in like two bites. I'm done. What happened? You know, the waiter comes back and says, Did you enjoy the meal? Well, you know, that was the meal, and I paid good money for it. I mean, it was a sample size, but that was the whole meal. So I wasn't filled. Well, but I was fed, but I wasn't filled. God wants us filled. And in John chapter 7, I got to get this verse to you. I'm going to go back here. I'm going to start with the bulletin now. John 7. I want you to become thirsty for more of God right now. I don't know why you came here this morning, but you're here, and it's a good thing you're here. Jesus said in John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man, if you, if any includes you, you, if any man thirst, if any woman thirst, that includes you, sister, right? Let him... Thirst for what? Thirst for more of God. Thirst for more of the presence of God. Thirst for more of the power of God. Thirst for a closer walk with God. Thirst to hear from God. Thirst to know God. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And then Jesus said, and out of his belly shall flow, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. That means of the Holy Spirit. So the rivers of living water are flowing out, are going to flow out of you. Rivers can bless the whole world. Now back up just a couple chapters to John 4. Jesus was talking to a woman, a sinner woman, at the well. She'd been married 5 times, was living with another man, and she'd been disappointed basically by all 6 men. And Jesus said to her, I'm your man, and I won't disappoint you. But in John 4, verse 14, Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Yes. That day she received Jesus as her Lord and Messiah. And she was saved that day. I know in technical terms, she wasn't born again because Jesus had not yet been crucified and had not yet risen from the dead. But she was saved in the sense that David and all the other Old Testament saints were saved. Okay, but with the technicalities aside, that was the turning point in her life. Because she realized that Jesus was greater than a prophet. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus actually told her, I am the Messiah. And she received him in that capacity. Notice that Jesus said, well of water. Everybody say, well of water. When you're born again, when you receive Jesus as your Lord, and you have, lift your hand, wave back at me. If Jesus is your Lord, in your spirit, there's a well of water. And a well primarily blesses you, and you have eternal life. But now in John 7, verse 38, we just read that scripture. Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a difference, but can you see that there's a different word here? Rivers. Everybody say rivers. Rivers. So in John 4, Jesus talked to this woman and said, there's a well of water in you now, springing up to eternal life. Here he's saying rivers. There's a big difference between a well and rivers. Rivers bless entire nations. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can bless entire nations, starting with your own family, of course. Hallelujah. But it's, in other words, what we're talking about here with the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not to get you to heaven. You already got that made. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know how you got it made? You have Jesus. The Bible says he who has the Son has life. You're washed in the blood. The blood of Jesus has opened heaven gates. We sang that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Heaven is done. You don't have to wait to die to find out if you pass the test. The Bible says he who believes in Jesus has passed out of death into life. We've passed out of the realm of spiritual death and the power of the devil into the realm of life. Hallelujah. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and I'm now a citizen in the kingdom of light of the Son of God. Amen. So heaven is done. Well, why don't I just be transported up there? Because God, why aren't you? What are you doing here? I mean, it's obvious you're ready to go. You're ready to go. Yes, to spread the gospel, to bless others, to make a difference in the lives of others. And for that, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why the Bible says be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't get drunk with wine. Don't waste your time. You have a destiny to fulfill, and your rewards in eternity, your eternal rewards are based on the rivers that flow out of you. Amen. Am I making anybody thirsty this morning? I want your life to count for God. I want you to have a full reward. When you get up there, I want people to be awestruck by you get all that because you did all this. You prayed prayers. Hallelujah. See, everybody may not be up here. My wife doesn't want to be up here. She does, you know, she's not like me. She's a very outgoing, outspoken, bold person. Whereas I'm very shy and reserved, you understand? Oh, hallelujah. So everyone is not gifted to be up here, you understand? Or called. But everybody is called to do something. Like Brian said, everybody is called to be a blessing in some area. Every one of us is important to Jesus. I want him to make you thirsty right now so that you say, my life is counting for God, and it's important that I stay alive in 2016. It's important that I be at my best in 2016. It's important that I make a forceful forward advance in 2016. I don't have time to waste. I've got to do something for Jesus. I've wasted too much time already, so I've got to make up a little bit of time. Maybe I have to make up a lot of time. Maybe I have to make up years. Fine, let's go, Holy Spirit. You'll do more in 1 year with the Holy Spirit than you could in 50 years without it. Hey, hallelujah. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor, say this. Say, you need. Say, I know what you need. Hey, hallelujah. I can work with this. Say, I know what you need. Oh, my wife said, I need to slap him 3 times. That's what he needs. I know what you need. What you need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, I was filled back in the summer of 79. Well, glory to God, it's 2016. You need to be filled in the winter of 2016. You need to be refilled today. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is how it worked with me. A brother came to me and said, have you ever heard of Luke 3:16? I said, no. I said, is it anything like John 3:16? He said, well, no. I said, well, I know John 3:16, and I was happy to quote it to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, I know John 3:16. He said, that's good. He said, have you ever read Luke 3:16? I said, yeah, I've read the New Testament through. He said, you know what it says? I said, I have no idea what it says. This was back in 1979, by the way. In Luke 3:16, John the Baptist answered and said unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. That's what he did. He immersed people in water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I said, who put that verse in there? I said, that verse wasn't in there when I read through. I said, somebody must have snuck it in. And they said to me, well, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire? I said, well, does it have anything to do with water? They laughed at my ignorance in a very nice, pleasant way. I said, no. You know, I understand I was raised Lutheran, and the only baptism we knew was water baptism, and we didn't immerse anybody. We just sprinkled. You can argue about that, but I'm not going to argue about that. I'm going to refrain and go on. So here I had this thing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I said, well, what's that? What is that? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, the baptism, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I said, well, maybe Jesus has, and I just don't know it. And the fellow said to me, well, if you were baptized in water, would you know it? I said, yeah, it'd be soaking wet. There would be some evidence.
Yes. Amen.
That I'm dripping. It wouldn't be, well, I don't know. I mean, now, I guess if you were sprinkled, you might not know. But if you've been immersed in water in Lake Lanier, praise God, you know that something happened. Hallelujah. You come out and you're soaking wet, hallelujah. There's evidence. You're wet. And so I said, well, there must be some kind of evidence other than just, well, I think I have this experience. I don't even know what it is. And he said, well, turn to Luke 24. I said, okay. So he was creating an appetite in me for this experience, and that's what I'm wanting to happen in you right now in Jesus' name. And he said, he quoted this, he started to Luke 24. He said, Luke wrote this. This is after the resurrection, verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And verse 49, he read this, and he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And I understood that Jesus was talking to his disciples. He had said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go, and then he said, wait. Well, now, which is it, Lord, go or wait? Well, it's both, but wait before you go, because before you go, you need to receive something that you don't have right now. Now turn to Acts chapter 1. And I found out that Luke wrote two books. Now somebody decided to call Acts instead of Luke chapter, you know, Luke 2, you know. But Luke is the Gospel of Luke, and then Luke also wrote Acts. And so we started to read in Acts 1 verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. That means lover of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, now we're coming to it, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say, but wait. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I said, aha, here's a clue. What is this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it would happen not many days hence. Yeah. So it obviously hadn't happened yet. And he said in verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That includes you and me. So we have an assignment. We have a heavenly assignment to let our light shine. Hallelujah. Yes. to the uttermost part of the earth. And look at verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Well, that was 40 days after the resurrection. 10 days later, little drum roll, please. Thank you for the drum roll. Acts 2, verse 1, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost, everybody say Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. There's a tongue of fire for every person in the house today. There's a tongue of fire for you in the name of Jesus. And they were all filled. Everybody say they were all filled. It doesn't say that Peter was filled and John and James and everybody, all the 117 did without. It said they were all filled, all without exception. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what'd they do? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's what you're fixing to get this morning. So I had a question. I said, well, how do I know that this is for me? And I was shown verse 17 of the same opening. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon
all flesh.
All flesh. I'm a simple kind of guy. I like the word all. You see, if Brian were to say, I'm going to give $100 to all the people in the room this morning, I would immediately get happy. Because all is such a big word that it includes me. You understand that? And so when God uses the word all, he should have known better, so to speak, because he should have known if I say all, that Carl is going to get in. If I say all, any or everyone, that's going to open the door. So what? It's going to blow the door off. Carl's going to come in. Is this speaking to you? Are you going to get in?
Amen.
It says they were all, he says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So my friend said, do you have flesh? I said, yeah, it's quite obvious. He just said, Bell, pinch yourself and make sure. So I said, okay. I said, yep, I qualify. I said, I'm not convinced totally yet. He said, well, look down at verse 38 and 39. I said, okay. Then Peter said unto them at the end of the service, repent, or end of his sermon, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So he said, my friend said, well, have you done that? I said, yeah. He said, well, then your sins are remitted. They're gone. Look at the end of verse 38. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 cinched it for me. For the promise of the Holy Ghost is to you. It's to your children. And it's to all that are afar off. Now, he explained this to me. He said, Peter was preaching to Jews. So he said, the promise of the Holy Ghost, it's to you Jews. And he said, it's all to all your little Jewish children. Thank God he didn't stop there. He said, it's to all that are afar off. I said, well, who's that? Well, he showed me Ephesians chapter 2. I've got to find Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, it says, in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. So he's writing to Gentiles now, and he's saying, you Gentiles, by definition, were far off. And I said, far out. Hey, I might be far off, but I'm not far off anymore. But now I go back to Acts 2, verse 39, because now I understand who far off is. Acts 2, 39, it says the promise of the Spirit is not just to the Jews and their Jewish children. It's to all. There's that word all again. See, when God put that word all in, he said, I'm going to make it so Carl gets in. Now, if I can get in, anybody can get in. It's to all that are afar off. Hallelujah. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And he's called you. Amen. Here you are today. Now, look at Acts chapter 10. I said, well, convince me a little bit more. He said, okay, I will. In Acts chapter 10, there's a story of a man named Cornelius who was really hungry for God. And he was so hungry for God that he forgot to eat. And in Acts 10, verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. He was so hungry for more of God, he said, I don't even need to eat. He was extreme. But when you get hungry for God, something good happens. He said, I've lived an empty life. He says, I haven't tasted the goodness of God like I want to taste it. He was fasting. He says, I don't cook any hamburgers for me. I don't want any meatloaf. I don't call for a pizza. I've got to have Jesus. I need to know God for myself. Does that fit anybody here this morning? Peter came, finally. We won't get into the whole story. That's another message. In Acts 10, it's past verse 38. That's one of my favorite verses. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And see, that's not just about Jesus now, but that's going to be about you. God's going to anoint you with the same spirit he anointed Jesus with, and you're going to go and be a blessing, just like Jesus was. And the Bible says here, while Peter, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that means the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, could I parenthesis, who were far off. Remember, Gentiles are far off, that's far out, okay? So the Jews were astonished that on the far off Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How'd they know? Well, if you're baptized in water, the evidence is you're wet, right? If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, how'd they know? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I said, well, that's two witnesses. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they spoke with tongues. So God didn't do the speaking. In both cases, they did the speaking. And they were magnifying God. Now look at Acts chapter 19. I said, this is exciting. I said, I've never seen this before. The Bible says here, and it came to pass, verse 1, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, that's a city in southern Greece, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, you can't receive him if you haven't heard of him.
Right.
You know, I heard there's a Star Wars movie out right now. I haven't gone to see it. Don't plan on seeing it. I've never seen any of the Star Wars movies because I know the guy who made the stars. Ooh, such a burn. His name is Jesus, okay? So I know the guy who made the stars. And they think they know how many galaxies there are. I have news for them. They don't know. They're putting a new telescope out in outer space. I think the Hubble telescope is worn out. So they got a new one out there. And they said, well, that's going to see further. And praise the Lord, it will. And then they'll just say, wow, it's bigger than we thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. How'd I get digressed on that? The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not an impersonal force. May the force be with you kind of thing. He is a person with force.
Right.
I'm not a force. I'm a person and I have muscles.
Yeah. Amen.
But the Holy Spirit's muscle. My wife is shaking her head. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to stay on topic, honey. I really am. And let's go back to the Bible. You can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you know about him. I'm teaching you about him. He's the same Holy Spirit that drew you out of sin to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is really good. Because he already engineered the best thing that's ever happened to you. And now he wants to engineer something really tremendous to happen through you.
Amen.
I like this. All right, here we go. Then they said, Paul said to them, verse 3, Acts 19:3, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And at that point, I know they were saved. Amen. They believed on Jesus. They were immersed in water in the name of Jesus. And you just don't do that unless you're a Christian. That means you are a committed Christian. Amen. So at the end of verse 5, they are born again from above by the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, and then Paul laid his hands on them. See, they're already ready to go to be with Jesus. See, the new birth gets you ready to die. The baptism in the Holy Spirit gets you ready to live.
Amen.
You like that?
Yes.
It goes back to the well and the rivers. The well gets you ready to die. See, I'm ready to die. I didn't say I'm going to die. Just relax. Breathe out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to die. But I'm ready to die because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. But I'm also ready to live because I'm getting more filled with the Holy Spirit every day. That's what I'm trying to get to. Look at verse 6. When Paul laid his hands on them, there are three things. Paul laid his hands on them, that's number one. Number two, the Holy Ghost came on them. What's number three? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there are three instances. Brian said this last week. The Bible principle is in the mouth of two or three words, let every scripture be established, let every truth be established. In other words, you can't take one verse and build a doctrine on it. But what I've given you here is actually three instances. I could give you more, but there are three instances here that show that when the person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the first thing they do is speak in tongues.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
So that means the evidence, the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Just like the initial evidence of being baptized in water is being soaking wet.
Right.
So I want you to know I have scriptural evidence for a scriptural experience.
Amen.
And the Bible says, back to Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Last scripture, well, second to last scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. I said to this person, I said, okay, when I speak in tongues, what's the alphabet? That's how my mind worked. I said, you know, I studied a little bit of, you know, Greek, Latin, German. What's the alphabet? I mean, if you're going to speak a language, you should at least know the alphabet. He looked at me and shook his head and said, it doesn't work that way. I sort of gave him one of those sideways glances like, well, then how does it work? So this is how it works. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, and then verse 14 and 15. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So he said very plainly there, no man understands him. Look at verse 14. Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, Paul said, well, I speak in tongues. That's one of the references I didn't read to you in Acts 19 when Paul, in Acts chapter 9, when Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul got filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues, and he said, when I speak in tongues, he said, my spirit is doing the praying. The praying comes out of my spirit. You see where I'm pointing?
Right.
I'm pointing to my belly, to my heart, because Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He didn't say, out of his head will flow rivers of living water. So Paul said, with my understanding, he said, Paul knew Aramaic, he knew Greek, he probably knew Latin, he knew Hebrew. He didn't know English. Wasn't invented yet. And so he says, my understanding is unfruitful. Then he says in verse 15, what is it then? I like John Wesley's rendering, what is my duty? He says, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. You see, the word I will is in that verse four times.
Yes.
I will. I will. I will. I will. I will means I decide to do it and I'm fixing to do it. I'm going to do it right now.
Yes.
Just like if I tell my wife, I will go to the store and get you milk and bread and whatever else she says. I will. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit forces me. He says, I will. Now, the Holy Spirit helps me.
Amen.
just like he helps me have a good attitude. Amen. But he says, I will pray with the Spirit from here. And then I will also pray with my understanding as far as my intellect gets me, which ain't very fur. Now, you may be a lot smarter than I am, and so you may have a vaster vocabulary and be able to, dazzle the angels with your eloquence. But still, you're going to need to pray with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Words that he gives you.
Yes.
Now, look at Luke chapter 11. This is our last scripture. Are you hungry?
Yes.
Do you want more of God?
Yes.
You're thirsty? All right, hungry, thirsty, you want more of God. Look at Luke 11, verse 13. So I was a little bit worried. I said, well, you know, if I get the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen to me? You know, is this going to be bad or is this going to be good? And the brother showed me this verse, Luke 11, 13. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So that put my fears at rest. But I tell you what, back up to verse 11. This might help you. Luke 11, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? I said, no, I wouldn't give my kid a rock. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent, a snake? No way. Verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Of course not. Verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and how you would never in a million years give them a bad thing, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is perfectly good, give the Holy Spirit, who is perfectly good, to you? There's another scripture that says every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So the Holy Spirit is a good and perfect gift.
Amen.
By the uplifted hand, you already told me that you've received Jesus, right?
Yes.
Jesus is God's gift to sinners. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to believers.
Amen.
Are you ready to receive him?
Amen.
Stand up with me. This is your time right now. This is your time. Hallelujah. 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 If you've already received the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, just lift your hands right now and say, Father, fill me again.
Father, fill me again.
Now say this, I believe I receive.
I believe I receive.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I take it now.
I take it now.
A fresh infilling. Hallelujah. Now we'll turn you loose in just a minute. If you've never spoken in tongues, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would like you to come down here, and I'd like Pastor Brian, Pastor David to meet me down here, and we're going to lay hands on you.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on. Come on, here we go. This is your time. All right, if you've already received the Holy Spirit, this is your time. Ready, set, go. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Now say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I belong to you.
I belong to you.
I'm washed in your blood.
I'm washed in your blood.
I've renounced the devil.
I've renounced the devil.
And I want to live for you.
And I want to live for you.
I need the Holy Spirit.